kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title today for our teaching, Lay Up Treasures in Heaven. Lay Up Treasures in Heaven. And I want to start first with a scripture, because it's not our main scripture that we're going to talk from. We're going to look from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. But before we do that, I'd like us just to turn to the Gospel of John. John 17 and verse 15. The Gospel of John 17 and verse 15. And I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So we see in Jesus' priestly prayer that he's praying before he goes to the cross, as we know with this wonderful prayer that he prays to his Father, this prayer is being fulfilled and answered even today, now, what Jesus prayed. And he prayed very clearly that we were to be kept in this world and to be kept from the evil one. And this is, of course, where we get our ideas and revelations that we are overcomers, that we overcome the evil one, even though we are surrounded with evil 24/7. And our walk is like walking on a minefield. Every step that we take has to be ordered by the Lord. And the Lord has sent the Holy Spirit in which to help and keep us on that narrow path and walk. And I want us to keep that in mind as we open up with this, lay up treasures in heaven. And we're going to take this from Matthew 6, from the Beatitudes. This is all in the context of the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 6, and looking at verses 19 to 21. Verses 19 to 21 of Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's interesting that there is something within man and man's nature that wants to store, that wants to have a store for the future. Or as we were so often said by our parents, to save for a rainy day, because we don't know what life can throw at us. And from a natural point of view and a logical point of view, that is probably right. That is right if you want to live in the world and to be part of the world. But because we walk on a much higher level, a level where we are in Christ, seated in heavenly places, we realize that God works a higher principle of faith within our lives with regard to these worldly things which we encounter day by day. We all have houses, thank God for that. We all have a warm place, food on our table, the necessities, the needs that God says that he will give to us, Matthew 6:33, if we put first the kingdom of God. We're told not even to take any thought about these things, because God compares this to the animals, to the birds. They forage for their food and God provides it for them. They are not concerned and consumed about these anxieties, and nor are we. And we know that it speaks about anxiety. Why is anxiety exposed in the scriptures? Because anxiety opens the door to all sorts of problems and oppressions. Much of what medical science is trying to battle with human beings is what they open their minds to with regard to anxiety and fear. I remember a few years back going into our local health centre, and as I was waiting at the counter, I saw a poster up, quite bold and big for all to see, on the wall, which said, "You are what you eat." And I looked at that and I thought, no, how wrong this is. What a wrong message that is giving to people with regard to their health. You are what is going on in your mind, in your heart. And that is the problem. And the reason that we have such posters like that, where the emphasis is about your eating, because we're all health conscious now and what we eat, they think that that is the answer, that is the panacea, and it isn't. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible stresses the importance of having a right mind, a whole mind, the mind of Christ. And anxiety and fear are the main doorkeepers that open the mind up to all sorts of problems. Mental anxiety, sickness, disease. The enemy is a master in knowing how to open those doors into human beings to inflict, as he does. And of course, we see it today. And this is why the Bible speaks so much about dealing with anxiety, dealing with fear. For that very purpose, the Bible says that the nature of fear is torment. Have you ever seen a person who sadly is mentally deranged, insanity? One of the things that you will see is they are tormented day and night. And that is the nature of demons, is to torment, to buffet. And the enemy knows exactly where to attack. And this is why Jesus emphasizes, this is why we have been given faith and the deeper life teaching, that we walk by faith, that we totally trust God for all our needs, for all the things, the bills that have to be paid. And once we start getting out of this COVID crisis, this plague, we're going to find that the debts are going to be humongous in the world. And what will that do? That will simply increase more of anxiety and fear. And in return, society will become even sicker. This is all part of the great falling away now that Jesus spoke of. The signs that we are seeing and discerning. It isn't going to get any better. They're all looking for this miracle vaccine. It isn't going to get any better. It isn't the answer that they all want us to believe. How are they going to deal with this COVID, that the fear and anxiety that it has produced? How many who have lost their businesses? Bailiffs that are knocking at the door. How are they going to deal with all that fear and that anxiety that has been created through all of this? And we assume that a vaccine is going to be the answer to everything. It will increase anxiety. It will increase fear. The very things that the Word of God says we're not to take thought of. The enemy is so subtle, he knows where to attack in man's mind. But praise God for the blood of the Lamb, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we come and we hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing the word. So that Jesus' prayer that he prayed in John 17, though we are in the world, Father, keep them from the evil one. And praise God, that is what God is doing with us. Hallelujah. So, laying up treasures then in heaven. You see, as I said earlier, it's in man's way to store up things, to have a reserve. Or it's within us that we want to own things. We want to own things that have value to them. We want to sort of boast that we have something, and we like to let people know how much that is worth. It's got value. You see, we want that security. We like that recognition. We like to have our very big houses, our security. We like to have our houses filled with riches, Rolls Royces in the driveway and so forth, because it gives recognition. It creates power and so on. And these are the very things that God has to wean out of our heart. You see, this is why the abundant life, prosperity teaching, a lot of it went so wrong. Because they were putting the cart before the horse. You have to grow, you have to mature into prosperity. You have to wait on God until he gives you blessings. And he does bless, and he will bless. I've always said that our Heavenly Father is so, so generous, so giving. We don't always appreciate what he gives to us, because sometimes what he gives to us many times is spiritual medicine. And it's not always nice to take, but in time, when we stay with it, it will bear the fruit. It'll bear the fruit. And that's the point. And God says that we are to prosper. He says in the word that he will bless us 100-fold. With families, houses, lands, and persecutions, it says. So we know that it's free, but not cheap. And what we are learning, we have to mature into these blessings. And that is what was left, has been left out of a lot of this teaching of prosperity. That you mature into these blessings in God's time. He is sovereign. I'm all for a saint to be blessed. And I rejoice when God manifests whatever it will be. And this is why testimonies are so encouraging and important, because I know that what they're sharing has cost them. That has not come easy in the natural. And that is why we encourage one another to stay with him, whatever you're believing for. But do not let them be the treasures on earth. We have a greater treasure, and that is the treasures that we have in heaven. And because those treasures are so important, this is why God delays manifestations in many things with regard to faith. Because he's got to get from our heads to our hearts where our true treasure lies. It is a treasure in nature that is eternal. And there is the difference. Because the treasures on earth are only for a season. And that is the fundamental difference. You see, wealth gives power, and power is control. And that is what man looks for. That is what governments want. That is what big industries want. And this is what's happening today. We are finding now that so many businesses and industries, if they're not large enough, they go under. So all we're being left is with these multi-powered industries around the world that control everything else. That's what's happening. That is all part of the beast system coming in, because they are so big, they're so powerful, they can control, and they do. And they do. But the Bible shows they will all fall and tumble in the last days. All these mega, multi-billion, trillion industries will all fall. Now, this teaching of laying up treasures in heaven, as I said at the beginning, is this teaching is all part of the Beatitudes, which Jesus gave. And these Beatitudes, which we all know, we've studied and looked at, particularly when you start from chapter 5, are types of building blocks to our walk in this life. So we build upon these building blocks. As he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And they go on, these blessings. And so we build upon that poverty of spirit. In other words, it means that we walk humbly before God. And that all our life reflects is what God has done for me, a wretched man or woman that I am. What you see is what God has done for me. In other words, being poor in spirit, which he says, is that gives him all the glory. So we've read all of these. I've preached many times over the years on these principles. But verses 19 through to 21 are also connected to verse 24 of chapter 6, which says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will have the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you cannot serve God and you're also lusting for the things of this world, or money is your God. And we all know someone, don't we? Or it's in the family or friends where money is their God. You don't have to look very far. They're all around. And have you seen these people where money is their God? They're miserable. They often have family crisis problems. They're all the while watching over their nest, guarding it. And people, often those sort of people, are very mean. We've seen it. We know it. It's around us. And these, again, are the very things that God is delivering us from. Because we've all been tarred by this in one way or another in our lives before we came to the Lord. What does it say in verses 22 to 23 of the same chapter? The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So here again, it is speaking about light. God is light. God's word is light. And we are children of the light. And God will always light up that which is of him, because that is his glory. His glory is always seen as light, flaming fire. And it says that we are full of light if we are truly born again of the Spirit. But it says that if your body will be full of darkness, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So in verse 23, it still speaks of a light, but that light is a counterfeit. It appears to be light, but it's actually darkness. And there is the difference. And that is why you have so many in religion, in cults, and so forth. They believe the light in them is of God, but it isn't. And it's interesting that it says, but your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So it means the whole body, the whole person lives and walks actually in darkness. So this light of the new birth that God gives us is a light that not only reveals God, reveals our walk, opens our eyes to the word of God, opens our eyes to discernment and all these things. It speaks that it affects the whole body, this light. So this light affects the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. And that's why we hold on to divine healing, because that light also heals us. But those who believe they have that light but are in darkness, their whole being, body, is affected. And there is the difference. Now I bring this out in light of laying up treasures in heaven, because it's what lies in the heart. In other words, it reveals the lusts that are in the heart, that covetousness. I want, it's mine, belongs to me. And this, of course, is why God presents the cross into our lives daily that we're to take up. Because it's dealing, it's putting to death what wants to rise up and own and have and possess. It's the cross is also dealing each day with those lusts that can so easily come on board. But praise God, Jesus has prayed for us, as I read back to you in John 17. And God has made no mistake in keeping us in this world until he comes for us, he raptures us. I think we're all feeling those real pains now. We're all wanting, desiring to be caught away and to be with our Lord and Saviour. I hear it coming out of some of you. That is the birth pangs. That is the pain now that we're in. But be assured, all the while we are still breathing and walking on planet Earth, Jesus' prayer prevails for for you and me, and you are kept from the evil one. He cannot touch us. He may growl, he may make a lot of noise, which he does, he may try and stir it all up, which he's a master at, but he cannot devour us. Take comfort in that. If we lay up treasures in heaven, if we are still covetous, if we are still lusting for the things of the world, then the enemy has a hold in your life. And he will afflict you, and I tell you where he'll afflict you, in anxiety and in fear. Well, I want to look at this in several areas. Firstly, is it wrong then to buy nice things? Is it wrong to buy something of value? Well, I've already touched on this. If the Lord is leading you towards something, or you're going to buy something or whatever it is, you are very aware that your feet are being led by the Spirit of God. You have peace, you have God's blessing and his presence in the thing that you buy, or whatever it is you're buying. And I'm not talking so much about the daily necessities, that is, of course, food and paying bills, because Jesus says we're not to take thought of that, Matthew 6:33. We're not to be anxious about the daily needs, which is running a house, paying our bills, taxes, and all that sort of thing. He said he will provide for all of that. What I'm talking about is where there are blessings. And these blessings which our Father wants to bless us with, and they can be blessings that can be valuable in the natural or have cost quite a lot of money. The point is, where is your treasure at that point when you buy it? That is the point. Is it something that you're going to lust after, you're going to depend upon, you're going to use so that you can tell people how much this is worth and how much it costs me, and you're going to put it on show for others to see? Then that is the wrong spirit. It is the wrong motive. It's revealing where the treasure of your heart really is lying. You see, the question for the saint is, does it own you or do you own it? And there's the difference. There can be things that we have, but it actually owns me. It controls me. And that is what we have to get free from. And that is where we have to be open and honest with God. Because as I've said, if you lust for these things, then you start to open the door to anxiety and to fear. But you know something, there's a bigger sin that it actually causes within us. When we are still filled with this fear and anxiety, it stops us from giving to the house of God, to the needs, to our brothers and sisters, or to those things that would be around us. And that is one of the things it does, and that is why I'm convinced the enemy attacks us so much, because it affects our giving. Now, our giving to the Lord, as he shows and leads, is all part of our stewardship. Our stewardship is that it belongs to God. The world belongs to God. The universe, his creation, man, everything he made belongs to God. The enemy usurped it through the fall of Adam. But we're being restored back. And one of the things that the Spirit will teach us is that we are simply custodians. or we guard it, in other words. We are stewards. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And he has given it to me to look after, to glorify his name. He has given it to me, whatever blessings that I have, to share, and that others will be blessed and helped and so forth. That should always be the motive and heart that we are led each day as overcomers. And when we start to do that, that is a clear sign we've laid up in heaven treasures that cannot be destroyed, that are eternal. And that is what glorifies God's name. And sometimes God removes, doesn't he, to reveal where our heart is. Sometimes something has been removed that we were dependent on, or can't understand why that happened. Well, sometimes God for a season will remove it. But the very simple reason is because it's owning you. It's controlling you. And there is the difference. It's very subtle how this works, brothers and sisters. And if we're completely open and honest with ourselves, we can still see these areas that God is highlighting and pointing to. And then that explains why that anxiety, that fear still works within us, that we battle with, and we wonder why we can't get the victory and so on. God knows exactly how to hone in on our very problems that we would have. Well, secondly, looking at this, and remember we're talking about laying up treasures in heaven. Secondly, those things we labour and save for the future or the past or whatever it is, and we all do it. And yes, I'm not saying that you should not have a will. I think all Christians, if they have property, whatever it is, yes, should make a will out. Because we don't want it going to the state. Particularly if you have family, you have children. But the point that I'm saying is, why save and save and try and build an empire for the very fact that when everything is distributed to your family or to your children and whatever it is, probably 9 times out of 10, they will go straight out and they will spend it. Where you have been scrimping and scraping and saving for years and years and years. And often that is what happens. Do we still have that mindset? Now, we're not saying that you now go out and start spending everything. That is not what we're saying. We're still talking about treasures in heaven. But I know some families, I know some people, some couples who scrimp and scrape because they want to leave a lot of money to their family, to their children. That to me is bondage. Because very often, all they will do, they'll simply spend it. They will not experience the cost that it costs them. I was very fortunate years back. My stepfather left me some money in his will. And I knew he was a man that worked very, very hard. And his job as an engineer, and he was quite high up in engineer, he was very well respected in his job. He was very well respected by the men that he was head over them and so on. And I knew that he was generous, but he was not stupid with his money. And when I was left this money, I thought seriously and I sought the Lord about it. I said, Father, what do I do with this money? Do I help people? What would you have me do? And I felt the Lord say to me, buy yourself a flat with it. because it will help you with your income to let it. And that is what I knew that my stepfather would really want me to do. But not only that, I respected that money that he left me because I knew that that had not come easy to him. He worked his socks off. He worked for over 40 years in the same job, and he only ever had a week off in all those years when he had flu. And I would see him go into work, sometimes really rough, really bad, but he would go in and so forth. And as I say, he held that job for over 40 years. That spoke to me. That is a witness. Now, God knows his heart and motive, but the point I'm saying is, I wanted to use that money which he had left to me in the way that I felt the Lord wanted me to do it. Because I could have gone out and spent it and bought a flash car, flash clothes and so on, which is so often what happens today. And I thank the Lord for that. But why did that happen? Why was that happening? Because I've learned you lay your treasure in heaven. That is where it is. And I also learned that these riches you can have can be so deceitful, can so blind us. And that is the other point. You see, often large estates and properties, when handed over to the next generation, they're never the same. Or they sell them, or whatever it is. They don't understand what their parents put into it, and the money and the time and everything. And they just split it up and take the money and do whatever they do with it. You see, I'm trying to show the futility of riches when these riches control us in this life. And that's what you see. One can invest in property or whatever it is, as long as the Lord leads, and that what you are blessed with is a blessing for the house of God. You see, that is the point. But many invest in properties, in art. Art has been very popular over the last 20, 30 years, investing in art. Mega amounts of money are paid for art and so forth. Jewelry, shares, you name it and everything, people strive for all this thing. But the point is, it controls them. And there's the tragedy. Whatever we're blessed with in this life must not control us. We control it. In other words, we are willing, ready, if God says, get rid of it or sell it or whatever it is. It's no problem. We do exactly that. Because our future is with God. Our future is in heaven. Our true treasure lies there. And that's the whole point. You see, looking back in verse 20 of Matthew 6, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Well, this treasure is being taught by the Holy Spirit. This treasure that we lay in heaven has to be the Holy Spirit's guidance and teaching in our life. But I believe the nature of this treasure is our heart, wholly, completely with Jesus. That is what it's really about. It's about our whole heart and affection that is with him and him alone. Because where is Jesus? He is glorified. He's in heaven. So our heart is with him. What greater treasure can you have than the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? You can't have any greater treasure than that. And Jesus is going to be our reward. And we know that as overcomers, because we're going to be with him side by side, as the bride is with our husband, never leaving his sight. Wherever he goes, we go. Whatever he's doing, we do. What a privilege, what a position that we have in eternity with him. So this treasure that the Holy Spirit then is working within us is not only a heart and an affection and an attitude, but he's making us perfect. Now, we've shared with you what this idea of perfection means. It means a completion. We've come to a complete state, a complete standard that pleases God. And much of that perfection, completion, is simply staying with it and being faithful to the end. That's what he looks for. And that's what reveals a strong faith. This treasure that we're laying in heaven is that we have this strong faith to stand. This treasure in heaven is that we allow the Holy Spirit to circumcise our hearts. These are the rewards that are in heaven. As well as the greatest reward is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, the enemy tries to attack, doesn't he? And you know where he so often attacks is in the word that we hear. He tries to twist it, you see. And he tries to attack on our commitment because he knows that gives us the treasure that is in heaven, the greatest treasure that we can have. So we're all very, very aware, aren't we, where we are attacked. And he tries to keep us out of this word. He tries to keep us out of prayer. He tries to keep us out of fellowship and so on. You know, he's given himself away many, many times, hasn't he, in our lives over this. And why does he do this? Because he doesn't want you laying treasures in heaven. He fights against that. He's actually jealous. He's jealous the rewards that you are receiving and will receive. He's jealous that you have eternal life. He's jealous because you are destined for heaven. Where is he destined for? The lowest part of the lake of fire and brimstone. He will be at the lowest level of the pit. And that is why he's so jealous. And that jealousy causes rage within him, which jealousy does. And that is why he tries to attack us. But Jesus prayed that priestly prayer that we are preserved, even though we're still kept in this world. And God has that under complete control with whatever is going on around us, whatever is happening. He keeps us right in the center of the storm where there is calm and peace and harmony. And verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So again, when it speaks of the heart, it speaks of the affections, it speaks of you. This is why we have so few who want to come into these meetings. And the reason being is it holds no interest. But thank God He has worked within us where he's stirred up within us that we are interested. And as we open our eye, our hearts, our whole being, then we realize the greater rewards that are attached to all of this and what God is doing and building within us and those treasures that are in heaven. But you see, the heart is always an indicator where our affections lie. It is an indicator to each of us, and it tells us, it speaks to us, it shows us. And sometimes we have these besetting sins that seem to hold and control us, until in despair we just raise our hands, Lord, I cannot get free. And then the Lord starts to get our attention. You're not getting free because that is where your heart, your affection is. And then you're able to start to confess. You're able then to start to talk it out with the Lord. You're able then to say, Lord, change this area. Change this heart of stone to a heart of flesh. I hate it. I don't want it. It's destroying me. And you know your Heavenly Father will never turn a deaf ear to that. If that is what you want, that is what you mean. He will move heaven and earth to deliver you. And he is delivering us. This is why I've always said, and I said this right at the beginning of my ministry years back, you have to be honest before God. We all of us stand naked in his presence. So where can we hide? We can't hide anywhere. We are completely exposed. And it's for that very purpose that we can change, we can confess, we can bring it out into the light. And then the healing comes. The change of heart and attitude and mind comes. You see, only God can do that. Psychiatry can't do that. This is why I'm not always so happy about psychiatry, because it exposes. But the problem is, it doesn't have the healing for those exposures. It simply suppresses. But God will always provide the healing. He heals the brokenhearted, as the Word of God says. Because he knows us, he made us, he created us. He knows more about us than ever we will ever know about ourselves. And that's why we hold to this. Because the heart is an indicator where our affections lie. And this can only change when we ask God to perform that heart surgery. And he'll perform it. And he'll take out that heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. And that heart of flesh will always lay up treasures that are in heaven. And with whatever we have been blessed with in this life, and indeed we are, we know what those treasures and blessings are for, in which to share, in which to glorify God. But remember, you are simply a steward. Whatever we have in earthly things is all going to pass away. Remember that. The next blessing that you have, or you go out and buy, remember, yes, it is a blessing, but it will pass away. It's not eternal. Only those treasures in heaven are eternal in nature. Father, we thank you. Lord, there is always something new that you highlight and bring up. There is always something new that we need to go before you and to seek your face in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for your love and mercy and grace. that you never give up on us. Father, we thank you that you are preserving and keeping us in this world. It has become so deadly now. It is so confused. But Lord, we are not touched by this. You have given us the Blessed Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he will lead and guide us into all truth, as he has promised. And Father, whatever anxieties or fears that still may hinder us or oppress us, Father, help us to get that deliverance. And it may be that we still have too much affection and desire for earthly and worldly things. Only you can cut away the fetters. Only you can release us from the chains and from bondage. Only you can put a right spirit within us. And sometimes, Lord, you allow us through our walk and circumstances to make us desperate for this. But Lord, we know that whatever you're doing in our lives, the nature of it is always redemptive. And it is always a bigger picture than we ever realize. So thank you again, Father, for our fellowship. Lord, bless, preserve, keep my brothers and sisters. Always keep them walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And Father, we know that time is short. We know that you are going to soon come, and we will be caught away and we will meet you in the air. Lord, we long for that day and we look to it. But until then, we are preserved and kept in this world from the evil one. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy.